Hey, you lost or something? Oh, you was just looking for the board game point of view. Well, you found it, kid. What's that? Is it part of the Dice Tower Network? You bet your head it is. Yeah, old Tommy Vassal sure has a good thing going there. Well, enjoy the show. I've got a train to catch.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming and also a very proud member of the Dice Tower Network. And this is a very special episode. This is part one of us playing the Edge of the Empire system set in the Star Wars universe. I would like to thank Alex Eating for being our game master. He did a phenomenal job. And we look forward to playing more of this with him. So, without further ado, I give you part one of our Edge of the Empire campaign.
Hello.
Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Hello, Seth.
Last as usual.
That's true. It's tradition at this point.
No, I listed you on my character list, too, over here. You are at the bottom of the list. I have a post-it over here on the side of my screen.
All right, I don't need to know. All right, okay, fine.
For character names.
You could have just told me I'm on the top. I mean... Throw me a bone here.
I just want you to know who's the bottom of the marching order. I think it's important for you to know that. I'm going to zoom down.
I'm the anchor. I'm just the anchor.
Yeah, we put the most important people last in the list.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's
well,
what
now
we did.
I'm offended. I'm probably first, aren't I?
No, Adam is first on my list. You are right in the middle. The most important in the middle, following the most important
that's
person
right.
in the first slot. Okay, so first thing I'm going to do is we're going to have a little obligation roll to get this thing started. And,
oh, baby. Come on. Let me my drugs. Was it the drugs?
I rolled a 12, and yours is in the 10 to, or in the 11 to 15. So, yeah, it would be a drug-based obligation.
So I'm just like scratching there. My neck like hardcore right now.
So, yeah, so that that set of obligation is going to be something that that's really bugging you this episode,
so,
Seth.
So that means my strain goes down.
Technically, your strain
one,
threshold
two?
Is one less. And that's to represent you thinking about needing a fix. As far
right.
as the
dude, this
mechanics
is so true to life right now.
It is. This is me, IRL.
Alex, can you explain obligation real quick, just briefly?
Oh, for our listeners' sake, obligation is a tool
no,
slash
for
resource for Adam. Okay, Adam.
Yeah, for me.
Focus. obligation is a tool that we can use in Edge of the Empire to. Kind of inspire some personal stuff that goes on with the characters. It gives you a good place to start because in an Outer Rim setting scenario, we assume that our heroes have kind of an initial struggle of some kind that they have to go through. And I believe obligation is a way that we can kind of help inspire not only dealing with, you know, money owed or responsibilities had or addictions to deal with, things like that. So it's just a kind of a way to flesh out characters and build on that. So we've got our obligation thing taken care of. The next thing I want to make sure we roll is our destiny points. So everybody, including myself, grab and roll one of your white force dice, and I will
oh, baby.
Organize those appropriately. Tell me what you got.
Hey-o, two light side.
I got two dark side.
Two light, two dark. I rolled one dark.
I rolled one dark.
And one dark. All right, we have six destiny points, four dark, two light
Dang,
right
boy.
Now for our game.
Sick.
This campaign is going to be set on the planet of Rune, which is an outer rim planet. It's probably one of its closer neighbors in well-known planetary knowledge in Star Wars is Ryloth. We're very close to Ryloth. And Rune is often used as a like a staging area for smuggling runs and things like that. Rune's major exports are like these flame jewel things. It's kind of like a semi-precious stone. Also spice and very rarely some specialized stones called rune stones. They're like super precious, very rare gems, and sometimes can even be encoded with information. This planet has an eclectic like technological mix, as the inhabitants have kind of like an if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality when it comes to technology. So there's a wide variety of tech, like ranging from up-to-date equipment and all the way down to like animal-drawn wagons and things like that. So nice. You get a big, wide spray of what the tech is going to be. You guys are all hanging out in this city of Tantum, which is the biggest city on the planet. It's probably population of about 100,000, if that means anything to people. And this, the cool feature about this city is that it's located inside of a caldera, which is a big cauldron-like depression that forms basically when a big magma chamber underground like is emptied out. So you guys basically are in this big like sunken city. It's like think like giant sinkhole, and that's where this city is. So you've got.
So is it open air or is it more?
Yeah, it's
like
open air. It's not like
underground.
Okay. It's just like in a hole that's the size of the city.
I like it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So I believe in pictures that I've seen online, there is a water feature somewhat around Tantum, kind of around part of the edge of the depression that you guys are in. So as far as like where you guys are within the city, I'm going to let that be kind of up to you. It's a little bit free form as far as that setting. Timeline wise, we're going to learn that basically from the crawl. Where did I put it? I copied and pasted it. Here we go. Although the Emperor has been defeated and freedom has been nominally restored to the Republic, the war is far from over. The Empire still holds huge swaths of the galaxy in its clutches, including the Imperial Center of Coruscant. Seeing an opportunity to grab power, dozens of commanders have broken off of the wounded Empire and declared themselves warlords. The fledgling New Republic, spread thin, fights world by world and system by system against new threats that appear every day. And in planets all across the galaxy, New Republic rule is still little more than a rumor. New Republic rule seems but a faint hope muttered to friends and whispered in dark corners of cantinas. Speaking of cantinas and noodle bars, I believe that's where we find our heroes hanging out. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm there. I'm just chatting with Bix.
We're on like high top kind of stools, just belly up to the bar, probably discussing what Tal has been up to. I like to keep an eye on him.
And I'm just kind of like leaning back against the bar top. I'm just like, so how about that weather? What do you think is going to happen this evening? Like, the same thing that always happens.
Right.
Twilight.
Twilight, yeah. Does it rain here? What's the deal with the weather?
I don't think it does.
Yeah,
I've never seen it rain here.
It's a fairly green planet, so as far as like illustrations that I found online. So it's not too different from what you'd probably expect from like an Earth kind of a deal. It's got plains, it's got some frozen mountains, it's got mud fields, it's got oceans.
Okay.
So
it's
yeah.
always cloudy.
Yeah.
But it never rains.
Right.
Rune has probably got plenty of cloud cover. It's got that like I'm from Northwest Ohio, so I imagine Rune probably has a lot of overcast days.
Also something off the books, or maybe on the books. We know that it is tidally locked, so one side's always bright, one side's always dark. That's what the wiki said to me. Similar to my home world of Ryloth.
Does that mean the planet doesn't spin? Or that means...
It spins, but one side's always facing.
Is it the same side that's always dark? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yes. It revolves once per orbit. So basically, as it moves around, that's just sort of like one thing I learned. And I was like, hey, It's like Ryloth.
Yeah, no, I've read about that too.
I'm okay with going for that, and I'm going to assume that you guys live on the daylight side for our scenario.
When I first infiltrated, if you want to say that, infiltrated the planet, I landed on the dark side of the planet and then kind of just like walked my way into the cities on the light side. But
maybe that's what inspired the lyrics in that song from Mulan. It was about mysterious is the dark side of the rune.
Wow.
Just want to make sure that we're setting expectations real high.
Nice. That's what was the name of that movie? Because it wasn't Mulan.
No, it was Mulan.
I don't know what's the equivalent. They're all owned by Disney now, so it's fun. Right. So it's, you know, it's a crossover.
Yeah, no, Mulan is just it's another planet. It's in the a core world.
I like this plan.
Speaking of which. Bix, have you heard of the increase in prices on those Mulan rugs now that the Empire's fallen? What is up with that?
You just can't get them anywhere.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, well, I've got a stockpile back at my hovel, so now I think we can make some big creds.
Don't you just live in the alley next to my garage? You've got, what, stacks of rugs in the alley?
Nah, that was a joke. I don't have anything, but if we did have them, think about it.
Okay. I'm more concerned about the weather, Tal. I don't want it to rain. I've got an open cab outside.
It's not going to rain. It never rains.
So this is probably a good time to do a little character introduction about who you guys are and what you're about. So let's go around the cantina, I guess, the noodle bar, and see what's up.
Is Thane here yet? Or is... Because you haven't said anything yet.
Thane always comes in from like a dark, shadowy corner, because that's how he enters.
Like, we're talking about just like random stuff, and then
it's like Aragorn almost. Like I'm always just in the shadows, and then I just kind of walk out. So I've been there the whole time, but
smoking a death stick.
Nope, that's okay. That part's not true.
Well, Bix is Duros. He's from Duro. He has a pretty good family life back on his home planet. He's got his mom, Trixie, and his dad, Box. And they own an animal dehydration factory, which is done very well for them. I am on Rune because I was working at, you know, the family factory, and we had an inspection, and the individual doing the inspection was a beautiful young woman who I kind of became infatuated with, and over the course of her being there, we started dating, and she got reassigned to Rune, and I decided to follow her to Rune, and I'm not really quite sure what she does for work, but I don't really care because I'm super Twitter-pated. And so now I just drive a cab independently around the city, kind of earning my keep while she's doing her thing. And on the side, I may smuggle some drugs, and that's how I know Tal, who I guess you can give your little backstory.
It's pronounced Tal.
Tal?
Come on. We've known each other for how long?
And
like
a month? Has not
and still can't
right.
remember it? All right. No, never does. But I assume it's just because he's a Duros and they can't make that sound. So Tal is a Twi'lek, young adolescent Twi'lek, probably in his early 20s or late teens. He doesn't really know. But he is a blue Twi'lek with kind of black markings on his leku and around the top of his head and face, wearing just normal smuggler stuff, some like cargo pants,
and a vest,
leather jacket.
Because they always have a vest.
No, actually, doesn't have a vest that you can see. Just a jacket right now.
He smuggled the vest as well.
Okay, there we go.
I was born on Ryloth to a prominent family, but was always a little rambunctious, and so I left home with some friends to join up with the kind of a smuggling operation through the Deathwind Corridor, which leads from Ryloth right to Rune. And through a series of unfortunate events, our kind of crew got mixed up in some bad business. Some things went down. The gang broke up. And I'm stranded here now and haven't been able to really work my way back. And also am a little trepidatious about finding my way back home after this time. As that happens, I also have developed an addiction for some nasty chemicals, which I turn to in times of stress to help kind of ease the pain, you know?
And based on our obligation role today, you are definitely feeling the need to.
I am. So I like turn to Bex. I'm like, hey, you got any of that stuff that I sold to you last quarter?
No, I moved that all already.
Ah, man, you've always been so efficient. Dang it.
Okay, and we also have...
Thane.
Alex. I was going to say Thane, yes. Right? Because we haven't had a background or intro on Thane yet.
Yes, so I am playing as Thane. He is a human from Coruscant. Like 6'1", he's pretty tall. Kind of a muscular build.
No, because... I'm tall.
Nope.
Hey-o!
Okay.
It's actually tall.
It is, yeah. But I couldn't resist, okay?
Just wearing pretty common, I guess, adventurer type gear, if you want to say that. You know, combat boots, cargo pants, maybe like a poncho or some sort of a cloak, gloves. My primary weapon is actually a force pike, which is just kind of like a large spear of sorts that can be electrified and like used to stun people. I have focused all of my kind of combat training primarily on the melee hand-to-hand side of things, the martial arts, just because that's something I've always been interested in since I was a kid. Yeah, both his parents were killed due to various criminal activities when he was younger, so he is an orphan. He has spent time in law enforcement and doing various other things, but eventually made his way to the Outer Rim and became a hired gun. But eventually his conscience got the better of him, and he decided to go back to the Core Worlds and leave kind of his operations with the Black Sun and various other criminal organizations behind, because he was becoming the very thing that he hated when he was a child for taking his parents away. And so now he's been working as a bodyguard for a representative from Corellia. And recently she was actually assassinated, and the murder was pinned on me, as far as we know. And so I have come to Rune in search of the true killer in order to clear my own name and avenge my friend. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, there's our cast of characters. Do we have much of an appearance description for Bix, Adam? I don't remember if we covered any of that.
So. Oh, no, I don't think I
because I believe the Duros look the same. Couple of color shades right. And stuff.
Right. Duros, generally a greenish blue, I think. I'm kind of a paler blue, and when I drive my cab and when I drive just about any vehicle, I become a little bit paler still because I get car sick.
He's a cabbie who gets car sick.
There's some irony in that, not just because I'm, you know, a taxi driver, but because I am Duros and we're known for piloting both, you know, on planet and off planet. So. Blue, red eyes, no hair, wear a baseball cap, and a green or an orange puffy vest most of the time.
Like Marty McFly style, almost?
Marty McFly, yeah.
Marty McFly.
Exactly, yep.
I like baseball cap,
orange vest.
I think Duros are also a hairless species as well.
I believe they are.
They just own it, though.
Yeah.
Right.
The Twi'leks have always been pretty sensitive, wearing like headpieces and stuff.
Cool. Right, I think that's a good intro for the characters. So you guys are hanging out in what's the name of the noodle bar?
Can it be Mulan's?
Yes. Yes, it can.
Mulan's. Yep.
You guys are hanging out in Mulan's noodle bar.
I just got into town, so I hit up this place just for a bite to eat real quick. So I just came in.
Oh, is that how fresh you are? You haven't met these guys yet? Is this the initial moment?
This is the initial moment for me.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
Steven, do you want to describe entering the bar / noodle bar?
So it's really run down. There's literally a hole in the wall directly next to the doorway. But I use the doorway anyways because common courtesy.
All right. From here, I'm going to take over the description.
Nice.
The noodle bar is it's a little nondescript even, which is why it's probably so empty. It's just like word of mouth has gotten to the point where people know that this is a great place to grab a bite to eat. A lot of different species are served here. So you can get pretty much different stuff from behind the counter from, you know, all different types of food that you'd prefer to eat. You've got your everything from your vegans to your carnivores kind of a thing is presented and available. This bar it's one of those where it's deeper than it is wide for sure. Like we're probably talking only in the main front area, only three or four tables across. There's some booths aside along the walls and stuff with that. The lighting is kind of low in this place, as you would expect from kind of a hole-in-the-wall location. You guys notice some activity, some loudness coming from outside as things start to happen and unfold in the city here. There aren't really windows, but you have that hole in the wall in the front of the building, as well as the door, that flashed open as, Thane, came through. Thane maybe was both hungry and, noticing that some stuff was going down, outside or just beginning to, outside before he stepped in. But now that he's in, there are flashes of green and some very loud noises happening in the city area. You can't quite tell what that is from inside the bar, but before you have the chance to really look and go outside and investigate, cool. Stranger appears in the doorway.
Look, another guy's using the doorway. What is up today?
This stranger is moving fast, is wearing is a human male, and is wearing like a duster and a vest underneath it, and in kind of one smooth motion slaps two rectangular packages on the door frame inside the bar as he comes in.
Do I know who this guy is at all? Like running in the circles, like has he ever been on Rune or anything?
You don't recognize him. He is a light-skinned human male. He's got a mustache. And wearing what looks like pretty standard smuggler gear. He shouts as he runs in, "Explosives! Everyone get behind cover!" And, like, he's not even breaking stride. He runs all the way to the back of the bar and dives over the bar and disappears from sight. And you guys look back over at the door and see the two packages that he slapped to either side of the door are blinking with red lights. Other patrons in the noodle shop react to what's going on. It's not heavily populated, but there are a couple of people at least around. It's a noodle bar slash cantina bar kind of a level thing. So mm-hmm. You get people who are in there for meals. You get people who are in there just to drink and to drown their sorrows and stuff. Some of the patrons begin to flip tables over onto their sides and hide behind them, try to get away from the door. Others run toward the back of the bar. There's one sleeping drunk in the corner who, like, stirs, blearily picks up his, like, now empty glass, hoping to look for some more, like, Lomenale. And then he, like, leans his head back, like, mouth open, and starts snoring again. So what do you guys do in reaction to this?
I don't know, Biggs, and I'm like, doesn't he see there's already a perfectly good hole in this wall? What is with these new people today?
We better do what he says, though. We gotta get behind this bar.
Look, okay, he's the one trying to blow this place up, and you want us to just listen to him?
You guys have one round to react to what's going on before the next thing happens.
I'm really already halfway phased. Over the bar.
I'm just like, I'm still leaning against it, just like looking. How close am I to this, by the way?
Where do you guys hang out in the bar?
Well, so the noodle bar is right next to the door we established, so we must be pretty close, huh?
So I'm already halfway over the bar. You're still leaning up against the bar, and I'm starting to grab you from behind.
Just grab him with an arm around the neck and pull him over right. Backwards.
All right.
Yeah.
I just kick over the nearest table and crouch behind it.
Excellent.
I think we're just mostly concerned about ourselves at this point. I get Tal over the bar almost against his will. Would you say that?
Right. I'm upside down, like behind the bar.
Right.
Okay, perfect.
And I come back up one more time to grab our bowls of noodles and then come back down.
Perfect.
We don't really have much money, so this is our meal for the day.
As you grab those bowls of noodles, a fast-moving stream of stormtroopers in gleaming white laminate armor come flowing through the door. It's a good chunk of stormtroopers that come through. Mm-hmm. It's probably between like 8 to 15 troopers that come pouring into this place. Wow. And they start to hold their guns up and look and look around looking for something specifically when the packages that random dude put on the door frame blink faster and then beep and then go off. And a huge explosion fills the front half of this noodle bar. You guys are behind the noodle part of the noodle bar, but not the cantina part of the noodle bar. So
right.
You're up near the front.
Probably,
is that what's going on?
We're probably mid-restaurant, yeah.
You guys are probably... So you've got the bar protecting you, but you're probably going to take a little bit of strain based mm-hmm. on just proximity to it and just the sound wave that hits you guys. Thane, I'm going to assume you're a little bit closer to the middle of the bar at this point, a little farther back and behind a table.
Yeah, when that guy ran through, I kind of moved towards the middle of the bar, then flipped the table over
and
got behind it.
So you are going to be out of this blast range here because you're probably at like medium range to the door based on the Star Wars game range bands here. But you guys that are in short range are going to take you guys are going to take 3 strain for being this close.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's a lot of strain at first. Also, listeners, there's a difference between strain and wounds. Strain is about how much concussive/mental damage you can take before you get passed out, and wounds are about hit points.
Like they're gonna have to start calling this place the Flamin' Walk now.
The Mushu Boom Boom.
Right.
So, the action is now going to start for where you guys are able to like take some turns and stuff to finish describing the scene. The stormtroopers, actually probably Thane's able to look around now that the explosion has finished and see that there is nobody standing. There's just a pile of white stormtrooper armor around the front area of the bar. They're all down. They're all out for the count, as it were. As you react, tell you what, let's roll for initiative first here.
It's all right.
And in this case, you guys are going to be rolling a vigilance check, and there is no difficulty. I just want you guys to roll your vigilance dice and let me know what your successes are, and we're going to rank people in order of successes, and advantage are going to break ties.
I got 2 successes.
I rolled blank on both my dice.
Man, and I thought I was off my game.
Well, I rolled 5 success and 1 advantage.
What? Definitely going to be a
my God.
PC slot at the beginning. So here's how the breakdown of the actions are going to go. The first moment you guys have to respond here is going to be right after 2 more squads of stormtroopers come into the door. And I'll tell you ahead of time that these are groups of 4 stormtroopers each. So there's 8 stormies that just ran through and are seeing now the rubble that is their comrades. So we've got first is 2 PC slots before any NPC slots are going to get to activate. Basically, with the order of operations for combat in this RPG, it's based on slots rather than direct scores that determine that. So we have PC, some NPCs, and then a PC at the end because there were no successes on Adam's roll. That doesn't mean he has to go last.
They're kind of stunned behind that bar because they were closer to the explosion. So,
also, we're lovers, not fighters.
Wait, like with each other?
No. Yes. He thinks it's just brotherly, but...
I might even say, while we're trying to decide what's going on there, the stranger who ran in and blew up the wall pops over the bar from the back of the room near the cantina side and squeezes off a couple of shots at the group of stormtroopers with his heavy blaster rifle, which is a medium range, so it's going to be three. No, no, that's a medium range weapon. Let's see how this breaks down. There's a triumph there.
Wow.
But overall, it is a failure, so he doesn't hit anybody, but the triumph is going to be reflected in him shooting. Oh, let's say he shoots the top of the ceiling where the wall was above the door, and is going to break a big chunk of that wall and make it and pretty much block off this room for anything coming into the front.
What about the other hole in the wall?
Well, it's going to be just a big pile of rubble, so it would take some time to make any advances into there if there's anything else outside.
Oh, okay.
Which, based on the number of stormtroopers that came in and exploded, could be a lot.
Nice.
So who wants to use the first PC slot? Is that Thane?
Yes.
All right, Thane, what would you like to do?
I am going to propel myself over the table that I am crouched behind, mount the bar, run along the top of it, and with my force pike, like, dive down on the first squad of stormtroopers.
Okay. So that is going to be a maneuver on your turn. So your maneuver is going to be leaping up onto the bar, running across, looking freaking awesome while you wield your force pike and leap down onto a stormtrooper. So you basically move from short to an engaged range with a small group of stormies, or bucket heads, as you will. Depends on what your preference is. And go ahead and roll an attack on these guys. Now, with melee, when you're engaged, that is going to be a difficulty of what? Is it always a two, I think, with melee?
I think it's two, yeah.
Okay, so roll two purple dice, and I'll even give you a blue die to add on to that one just because of how cool and impressive that display was. It surprises anybody that, or surprises the stormtrooper that you're swinging at just based on how exciting that looked after the explosion that came through.
Dude, thank you.
Bix and I have not seen any of this. We're still behind the bar.
So I ran along top the bar that you guys are hiding behind, but, you know.
Yes. Well, we're ducked down under it, probably eyes closed still.
Have no idea what's happening. Yeah.
Right. Looking for the noodles.
I got one, it totals to one success and two advantage.
Nice. How do you want to use, okay, so success adds to damage always. So it's plus one to whatever your base damage is for the force pike, which is what?
Seven.
Seven, so you're looking at eight damage. And then the advantage you can spend in a couple of ways. It depends on what you want to do. What do you want to do with that advantage? And also, I would encourage you guys to not necessarily worry about the strict quote-unquote examples that they have in the rulebook about advantage, but we can play with what you guys suggest, and I will, you know, I'll shut you down if it's something ridiculous, because it's not going to be like, I kill four of the stormtroopers in one swing. That's not going to be a two-advantage roll.
See, that's what I was about to say, too.
So I'm glad I quelled that right before it happened.
Yeah, So from two-advantage, they just pile on to have something super awesome happen? Is that the idea?
Well,
or do I have like two
on, like,
different
additional effects? It's basically something good can happen as a result of this role. Some other benefit can happen. If we're talking like straight up boring, like dice allocation, you can be like, I will say that whoever else attacks these stormtroopers and helps me out is going to get a blue die added to their roll based on this advantage that I spend. Or if there's some added effect there that you want to try to add, you could combine them and do other things with that too. That's totally fine with me. It just depends on kind of the flavor that we're feeling here.
I'm going to say that my attack basically ambushed them. It caught them off guard.
Okay.
And so they are, the other ones in the squad are now kind of frightened and taken back.
Oh, cool. I would illustrate that maybe with black dice to their next attack.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I like that plan. And that is, honestly, that is enough to spend one advantage on something like that. I might even just add on my side that additional blue dye might be added to anybody who was an ally that was going to attack them as well.
Yeah, that's kind of
at least
what
for
I was
this
thinking,
group.
So
you did seven damage minus their eight damage, and then soak is a factor as well. I'm going to say that you eliminated one of the stormtroopers that was in that group.
Okay.
All right, cool. Next up is another PC slot.
All right. So what I do is I like unzip my jacket, reach inside, pull out a death stick, and just inject it. I'm like, sorry, I didn't have time to smoke this one. And so what's that's going to do is it's going to give me a black die to any task I attempt. But since I'm addicted, that's just like where I go instantly. So I do that.
Okay.
Does that take an action something to do that?
I think pulling something out along those lines would be kind of a maneuver. But you can also, if you want to perform an extra maneuver, you can spend strain to do so. You can spend two strain to move extra. Like, you can never move twice on a turn.
Right, right.
But you can spend a pair of strain to get an extra maneuver if you want to do something in addition to moving.
So, Tal, I see you do this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Don't you have a blaster in there?
No, I don't have a blaster. I'm on parole. And so I poke up my head over the bar and like see all these stormtroopers. There's, what, seven of them?
Yeah, there's seven stormtroopers right now, and this cool-looking bearded human with a couple of scars on his face is currently engaged with three of them, swinging his force pike around, defending this bar.
All right, I immediately recognize him as a cop. No, I'm just kidding. I poke up, see that. I assume the smuggler guy is still also over in the back.
Oh, yeah. He's taking pot shots at the stormtroopers, yeah.
And then I just immediately just duck back down, and I turn to Biggs. I'm like, no good. It's the feds. I think they're onto us. We got to get out of here, man.
They're after us.
Yeah. Well, I see stormtroopers. I see a guy who looks sort of like a cop, and he's chasing another smuggler-type character. Mm-hmm. This is bad news for me and probably you.
Okay, then an NPC slot happens where the stormtroopers that are engaged with Thane are going to respond in kind. And since you guys are engaged, this is going to be a bit of a brawl check right now. So they're going to swing and try and fight you off based on just being that close. I'm double checking to make sure these guys can't actually brawl. Oh, we lost Steven. I'm going to hit the call button on him and see if maybe it'll get him back. Hey, there he is.
Hey! Yep. Did I die while I was gone? No.
Yes, I accidentally shot you.
Twice, and we've brought you back twice. So here's what's going on with that group of stormtroopers. There are three of them left, and that is affecting how many dice they roll for things. So I am going to have them collectively roll a melee attack on Thane. One of them pulls out a vibro knife, and the other ones are like, yeah, get him, because it's too close to like juggle their like light blaster rifles around. So here comes the roll. Oh, dear sweet mercy. Okay, it is a wash except for one success that got left. So they are swinging at you with four incoming damage that is modified by your soak on a vibro knife. A guy slashed at you with the knife for a little bit of damage. Did you end up taking anything?
So my soak value would cancel that out, yes?
It's yeah, your soak value cancels.
My soak value
stuff,
is
then...
four.
Dang.
Okay, so you're going to take one wound.
Okay.
And that is that NPC slot's turn. The other NPC slot is going to the other group of stormtroopers who are opening fire on the guy behind the counter, who is shooting at them and has cover. And they are at medium range. That is okay, cool. So they opened fire on the guy behind the bar who ran in and blew the thing up. So they're kind of busy paying attention to those guys. We have another NPC slot that something happens that you guys don't know about. And then at the very end of the order, the PC slot goes to Adam, who has not acted yet.
Nice.
All right, before he goes, I say, hey, maybe we should shoot at that guy behind the bar so they think we're with them.
So clearly, I understand that Tal is out of his mind right now. I just saw him do some drugs.
No, I'm better after I do one death stick.
Okay, well, That's what you say. So what I do is I hand him both the bowls of noodles that we've got, and I say, I hid some drugs in this. We got to hide them. Eat these quick. So I'm going to give him the noodles just to kind of keep him behind the bar and out of trouble. And then I'm going to grab just a bottle of alcohol from under the bar and maybe grab some napkins and do like a Molotov deal. Kind of light this thing up, and I'm going to throw it at somebody. I don't know who yet, because I saw the stormtroopers come in, but I don't know who's still standing. So I'm going to pop up out behind the bar and just toss this into the largest mass of stormtroopers, I guess, that I see.
Okay, cool. So this is, this is a thrown weapon, so it's basically just going to be a normal check, but thank you for challenging me as a DM who has no idea how to deal with damage for a Molotov cocktail. So we're going to improvise it, and luckily I'm super familiar with this system in order to make that happen. Roll a ranged light attack.
Okay.
With the normal difficulty.
Which is just two purple?
Yeah, just two purple.
Okay. I got a failure, a threat, and three advantage.
Okay, so the one threat cancels one advantage, so you failed, but you have two advantage right now.
Nice.
So this is technically a miss, so the Molotov cocktail is not going to do any damage. But what I will say is it's going to make those stormtroopers probably scatter. And the cool thing about minion groups in Star Wars is when they are separated, they are less useful because it kind of... You need more minions to be more efficient at things.
Okay.
So the flames are going to give those guys some black dice to their next actions, as well as make them a little bit weaker as a group. But you didn't kill anybody, but you're divvying up the powers of their abilities.
Nice.
So we're gonna go back to the top.
Wait,
of
hold on. Does he duck back down behind the bar?
Yeah, I'm gonna duck back down. I've kind of seen what's happening, and I don't want any part of what's happening.
All right. When you duck back down, I'm like, holy criff, that flaming walk was prophetic. And I'm like my eyes are just glazed, and I'm like staring past you at something.
Right. Finish your noodles.
No, they're gone. They're gone.
The noodles are gone.
When he's on,
yes. It's been like 5 seconds.
I know.
Maybe those are his next actions, are just cramming you. We'll see. We go back to the top of the order. And since we're starting a new round, the smuggler is going to continue to act, and he's going to take some pot shots at the stormtroopers that are now spread out and on fire. That is overall successful. So he's actually hitting stuff, and that is going to take out two of the stormtroopers from the group that scattered. So we're looking at fewer and fewer stormtroopers. Now we have a PC slot open.
I will go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
All right.
Yeah. So when I jumped off the bar, I kind of like jammed my force pike down kind of in the guy's neck, almost like on top of his shoulder, kind of from like in that gap in the armor by his neck.
Nice.
So I took him down, and then now I'm pulling it out of him and kind of spinning around and striking the next guy in the helmet area, neck helmet area as well. So I will just do another basic attack to the next stormtrooper.
Add a blue for the advantage that you added to that from last roll.
Okay.
Because you're the next people, or you're the next person that has attacked these guys.
Okay. So I have two successes and one, I guess, force results. The yellow dice with the...
with the lightsaber icon.
Yeah,
that's a triumph, my friend. You rolled the nat 20 of Star Wars.
Nice.
So triumphs count as successes, as well as give you an additional boost. So something extremely beneficial happens on this roll. How much damage? 7, 8, 9, 10 damage is going to kill two stormtroopers, is what we're going to say here for the minion scenario. So there's only one stormtrooper left standing in the group that you were fighting. And how do you want to spend your triumph? Think something like battle shifting, something that will will positively affect the flow and the course of the fight that you're in. Whereas despairs, which are the ones that are on the red dice, will do essentially the opposite of that and make something really bad, nasty happen to you guys.
When I dispatch the other two stormtroopers in glorious fashion, the fourth stormtrooper backs away kind of in fear and actually runs into the wall of rubble at the back of the, I guess at the front of the establishment.
Love it.
And a piece of it jars loose and crushes him.
Wow. Love it. All right. So that you guys have now taken out six stormtroopers as a collective room here. That's wonderful, Stephen. Well done. So that was your action, basically. Do you want to take a maneuver of any kind at this point?
Yes. How do we want to describe where I am in the room right now?
In the room, you are, I assume you are facing the rubble door.
Yes. Kind of like on the, if you're looking at the door from the back of the room, I would assume I'm in like the front right corner, kind of by the bar.
Yeah, let's assume that.
Okay.
You're kind of in front of the bar and you were fending off stormtroopers.
Yeah.
There's two goofball chickeny aliens behind the bar.
Yes.
One threw a Molotov cocktail, which is burning around the feet of another group of stormtroopers. But there are only two of them left. And they're like kind of across the room from the bar. Again, it's not a very wide bar, but I assume that they're a little bit closer to the middle of the room because they seem to be shooting at the other guy on the other side of the room.
Okay. I am, for my maneuver, I am going to kind of turn around towards the remaining stormtroopers and the Molotov cocktail. And I will run and jump off of a tabletop over the flames and into range for a melee attack on the other two guys.
Wow.
Fancy. Okay, cool. The next slot is a PC slot. Who's going to take this one?
All right, I want to go. So now the drugs have definitely kicked in, and so I turn to Bix. I'm just like, Bix, I'm psychic. And so I jump up on top of the bar. Are there any guns or anything laying around near me?
Not on the bar,
no,
but like,
yeah,
there
yeah.
are stormtroopers on the ground, and they're like... they were all carrying light blaster rifles. All
right, so I leap off on top of one of them on the ground, and I reach down and grab a blaster, and I want to just start shooting. I'm not really, like, aiming, because, again, I think I'm psychic, but I am shooting at the stormtroopers.
This is going to be an interesting
yeah.
campaign.
So I have two greens. I get a black from being on death sticks.
For sure. You are also at short range from the stormtroopers, because now that you guys are out in the middle of the bar, it's all pretty close, except for the back bar that runs along the back wall. That's kind of a medium range from where you guys are near the front of the building. So this is a two purple die
okay.
for the difficulty. And this is the group that was on fire and is dodging fire, so go ahead and add a blue die
yeah.
because of the benefit.
So since I am also in the same group at this point, am I in danger since he's shooting wildly?
No, man.
You know what?
No.
You should add a black die for the person that seems to be helping this fight.
I get another black die? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. We're definitely... That's a good point, Steven. We're adding a black die to this roll in addition to the drugs just to illustrate that there's someone engaged with them in melee range. That's not a hard and fast rule, but it makes sense
okay.
for
so,
drug
boy
here.
So I pick it up. I say, ooh, an E11. These go for 500 credits. And then I just start shooting. And that's going to be two failures and two advantages.
Okay, so the failures are just going to
yep.
say no, you miss. But the advantage you can spend on some kind of benefit that you are in the mood for. What do you want to do with that?
Let's see. I can remove my strain with advantages, correct?
Yeah, you can. You can spend
so like,
advantage to remove strain.
As I'm shooting, like I think it's hitting them, and I'm feeling good. So my
you feel this like sense of clarity kind of come over you. Like
yeah, I start laughing in French. I'm like,
yeah, exactly. How do you laugh in French? Oh, the
haw.
Well done. And yeah, so you can recover two strain from those two advantage. The next slot is an NPC slot. The two stormtroopers that are left in the building are going to act. They are going to react to what they probably perceive as the biggest threat,
which is me
near them, which is definitely Fade. however, they are going to have some black dice to their roll.
Dude, I love Tao, which is me. I picture you even saying that, like,
no, yeah.
They whiff on their trying to like blind fire at you while you're swinging the force pike around being intimidating. So they miss completely. Their success dice are also dwindling because they have fewer members of their party to deal with. So that we miss that NPC slot. Another NPC slot rolls up and you guys hear from outside above the pile of rubble that was the front of the building as
I've got troopers in there. We need to get in here. There's some fighting going on.
And at the end of that slot, we have one more PC spot.
So I see Tal jump over the counter now. I pop up to see what he's going to do. I see him just firing madly. So I see this as a problem. I know him pretty well. So
I know I'm better with one death stick.
This is not going to end well. So what I do, I grab a noodle maker, which looks like a caulking gun that you'd use on a house, maybe.
Nice.
But it's for noodles. So I grab that, I jump over the counter, and I thrust it into Tal's hands and say, here, this does more damage.
Dude,
and
Kimbo say, with an E11 and a noodle maker.
And then I say, I saw a sub Noodle Master 9000. Nice. I say, this goes for 750 credit.
Wait, that's all more right than a blaster?
Yes. Have you seen those KitchenAid prices? That's not
no,
far
exactly
off.
Right. Clearly, Tal is not going to put down his weapon. So I guess I'm going to look for a blaster as well and see what I can do.
Oh, there's blasters all across the ground.
All right, I'm going to pick one up. I'm not going to use it, but I'm going to start moving Tal and I away from the front of the store if we know more people are coming in, and maybe kind of skirting us along one edge of the restaurant.
Okay. And then we're going to go back to the front of the order here, and we have a PC slot.
Okay, I am going to grab a nearby chair, like bar stool type, just chair from this noodle shop, and throw it at one of the stormtroopers. Would that be a thrown weapon attack? I just wanted to stun him, and then I was going to run and attack him with my force pike. But
I would say, well, you are engaged with them right now as of where you're last standing. I like the idea of just flavor-wise you kicking a chair at somebody to distract them.
Yeah.
And then making a melee attack, and we use that as color, as flavor.
Could you like just flavor like an aim maneuver so it'll give him like a blue die?
Oh, that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on. So you can like kind of hook your ankle around the legs of one of those tall bar chairs and kick it in the direction of the of the stormtroopers. Maybe just try to split them up a little bit, and then use that to also take a swing at your prey here. I'll give you a blue die for that. That's basically your maneuver, and then your action is to attack.
So I am left with three successes.
Dang.
Okay, cool. So three success is straight up 10 damage on
I think that's
one.
Actually 11 damage.
11 damage? Wait, your base is 8, isn't it?
8, then plus 1 for my ability.
So you are able to smoke that turkey and put down one more stormtrooper, and then the next slot is a PC slot where we have either Seth or Adam before the group of NPCs get to go. There's one stormtrooper left, knees knocking together.
All right. You're like dragging me over to the side, and I just like shrug off your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I like look at the gun, just like throw it on the ground. I think it's out of ammo. That's what I think. And I just charge at the last guy.
With the noodle maker still?
Yes.
Okay.
It's become a blunt instrument.
Right. Yeah. I'm just...
all right.
I'm running at him. I want to try and just, like, I don't know, like, tackle him or something.
Yeah, that's fine. Roll a brawl-based attack.
Yes. All right. Still have a black die. Yeah, I don't think I get anything else. Or,
but I think you're gonna get a blue just because this guy is terrified out of his mind.
All right, he should be. I'm psychic.
That's not why he's terrified, but that's okay.
I just get two advantages.
Two advantages. All right. So this stormtrooper is probably gonna be focused on you, But how do you want to spend those advantage?
I run at him, rush past him. He tries to push me off. My hand just kind of grabs his helmet, and I manage to slide it a little bit so he can't see. So if someone tries to, if he tries to do anything, or if someone tries to do anything to him, it'll be either a black or a blue.
There's going to be benefits going that way. That makes a lot of sense. I'm super okay with that. The next stop is an NPC slot. So the lone stormtrooper here has to take his maneuver to like try and fix his helmet from what you had just done. And he is so busy doing that that he...
I say, shoot me! Shoot me! Do it! You will not hit me.
He's like stumbling on rocks and kind of juggling around and swings somewhat blindly with the vibroknife he's got on his person. And that is... Oh, geez, that's technically a success. We're going to roll 50-50
on whether or not that was... Who is he attacking?
That's what I'm about to roll a 50-50 on. Okay. I'm going to say
because I have
even
something
is,
that can upgrade the difficulties. I can dodge it.
If it's an even one, it's going to be against Thane. If it's an odd one, it's against Tal. So it is against Tal. So you're upgrading the difficulty.
Yeah, I'm going to suffer a strain and upgrade the difficulty.
So we're going to add a difficulty die to that one. And it rolled up as a blank one, unfortunately.
No!
So it is still a success.
I'm dead.
But it's only a one damage on a vibroknife. It's only a one success on a vibroknife swing, which is a five damage hit.
Ow.
Negated by soak.
Don't vibroknives have pierce?
They ignore a soak.
So I'm going to take five damage.
Ooh.
No, four damage, I think.
I have two soak.
Yeah, it ignores one, and you still have one left, one? So it would be four damage.
Four damage.
So yeah, it's only vicious one.
Yeah, I picture, so you run past him, you kind of like jack up his helmet, he kind of backs up, fixes it, you're like, come at me, and he just stabs you.
Yeah, and I try and dodge, but I just dodge right into it. I'm just like, I'm cursing. I'm just like, Slimo!
I like it. Then there's another NPC slot, and you hear large impacts on the ground outside that sound mechanical.
And I say to the stormtrooper, reinforcements have arrived for us, friend.
Then we move to the last NPC or last PC slot.
I guess seeing Tal just get sliced by a blade, I'm going to take a shot at this guy.
I'm fine.
You're fine, yeah.
All right.
Do not worry about
short
me.
Short range across the bar is a two difficulty on a ranged light attack. And you have a blue die to that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hang on, Seth.
Yeah. Oh, did you not roll the black die for him?
No, he rolled an additional threat. So, yeah, I didn't until just now. But it was not a fail. If it had been a fail, you'd have been okay.
Yeah, yeah. Dang it. Can he take strain damage?
Minions cannot take strain.
But
they
just goes
take
to
damage.
Their wound, right? So
yeah, it goes to their wound threshold.
So he's hurt now, mentally.
He's like, I just stabbed a child.
So I've got two advantages and a threat.
So advantage and threat cancel themselves out as well. So you have an advantage, which you can... how do you want to use your advantage?
You should give me some more boosts. I want to take this guy out.
I'm going to say the advantage is that we'll say the ground is super uneven around this stormtrooper. He's got nowhere to go, really.
Okay. Yeah. He's kind of backed into a corner and he's on uneven terrain here. Okay. Yeah, he's stumbling around. That's going to provide benefits to other people. I just threw a die across the room. All right. And the last thing that's going to happen as the round closes is the guy behind the bar is going to take a shot at that last stormtrooper, like between the silhouette of you guys that are standing around him. Oh, he's so toast. And that stormtrooper is dead, so super bad. Okay. So that is going to conclude that particular part of the fight.
So are the three of us now kind of like standing in a triangle in the middle of this noodle shop? And then there's
And this other guy jumps the bar and he comes towards you guys and he goes,
I brandish the noodle at him, the noodle maker.
He goes, Thanks for the help, guys. I needed to make sure that we got nobody following me here. Listen, I need to get to the comm tower. We gotta make sure that we let the New Republic know that the Imperials are invading the planet right now.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed that. We will be delivering part two to you all in the near future. The Edge of the Empire system is part of Lucas Books and Fantasy Flight Games. If you enjoyed listening to us run through an RPG, let us know, and maybe we'll do more of this in the future. Good night, everybody.